as we welcome in State Senator Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update. Senator Groney, you have a chauffeur I see this morning. Is Mrs. Groney with you today?
Yes.
I'm me around so I don't hit things.
I saw you walking fast across the street.
I'm dodging
traffic.
My back is feeling better.
Good. Glad to hear.
Good to see. I was dodging traffic downtown.
Why she has to drive you around? Are we going to have to implement one of those laws like Dick Butkus was playing?
In my livelihood, I probably put close to many miles on the truck driver.
Yeah, you do.
So.
Well, with your daytime job and the
my wife and I just had that observation when she was driving. I said, I waste a lot of hours driving. I mean, I can't get anything done because you die if you're looking at your phone all the time. So she drives, I'm working, answering emails and texting. And
I thought maybe it was like there was a law on the books in Chicago when Dick Butkus was playing that he could not drive on game days because he would get so focused on the game he'd be at a stoplight and start ramming the car in front of him.
Really? I've never heard of him before.
Yeah, I can believe that. That's when football players are football players.
Yeah,
that's
older. I'm getting more authentic than Dick Butkus.
That's why, that was before soccer, when guys like Martinez, who's got good legs and no hands, played soccer instead of quarterback.
And we're right into the Husker analogy.
I don't know how many times you can fumble before you get replaced, but
I have not heard that one, and I like it.
That was not against Saul. He'd make a great soccer player. He had good legs, good feet. But anyway, redistricting is the big, the big topic nowadays, and we're going to stay intact, like I've always said, as a county, but we're going to pick up some area. The new senator will be campaigning a little outside the borders. I hope it stays in an area where it's the trade area, and almost everything around us is, but where they can listen to Cody Radio, and I think you cover most of Dawson and Custer and Perkins. And so we're going to pick some area up because we're just losing population, and not only it's a double negative, it's a we go down and they're going up, so the average of each district goes up to over 40,000 now.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to pick up some citizens. But it's all going to be, best analogy is, if we start on the west and go east, we lose two or three seats. Because as we go east, we have to dissolve districts to make them full. But if we start on the east and move west, we can take that excess population, keep moving it to districts west, and then taking some of that district and moving it further west. We can probably get by with losing one rural district. A couple of districts, you might try to call them rural, but they're going to be more suburban districts that tend to be people who work for a living and pay attention to government, don't ask, sit around and ask government for things.
Now, but you were just saying if we go from west to east versus east to west, who makes that determination?
The committee. When they're drawing the maps.
Okay.
I'm just saying, who sits down with that map, I got one right here, and decides to start? How do we make, we got to go each district and make it between 38,000, 30 people, and 40,000, I don't know what it is, a little over 40,000. Somewhere in between there, you've got to move. It's a 5% variance from the Constitution, you can go 5%. So if it's 40,000, let's say it's 40,000 people, you can go down to 48 or 42.
Numbers based on the census, then?
Divide total population by 49 districts.
Okay.
And that's what you have to, it's 1.9 million something divided by 49 districts, and you can do the math. But I'm not going to say anything out loud because, it's all feelings and who districts get hurt and who gains, but there's a pretty good way to do it, and legitimate way to do it, not a political Republican versus Democrat way to do it, where we're talking fair representation of people, cultures. So rural culture versus urban downtown Omaha or suburban Omaha, Nebraska, which is a big part of Nebraska anymore. But it starts the 13th, so we've got a couple weeks. And I'm just sitting on the sidelines watching to make sure my district's taken care of in rural Nebraska. But we got to start changing some hearts and minds. It's not, people are people. Nebraskans are Nebraskans, no matter where you live. There isn't a genetic difference between us. If you're going to be a conservative state, I'm trying to push my conservative. I'm born and raised Republican. Like I said, I always tell people my mother was an Irish Labor Democrat family. My dad was a hardcore German conservative. But we got to start taking care of the 80% of the people who work for a living. Not 80%, but of the conservative mindset who work for a living and care about social issues, and they don't care about corporate tax cuts or inheritance tax cuts. Those are a few people, but who do, but we got to start looking at the, and I truly believe the majority of Nebraskans still are that type of folks. They don't want a lot of government. They want to live free. They want their liberties protected. And they want what they built, the homes, their retirements protected and not destroyed. But anyway, so I think that's how you win elections. I think I've proved it a couple times. The whole country's in a mess, and I don't know how to say it any simpler than that. I mean, I had a conversation with a veteran about it the other day, and he said, watch what you say, because you upset some people, but I'm quite frankly tired of my flag flying at half-mast for victims.
No joke.
I don't believe them soldiers want their flag at half-mast. They want that flag full up, leaning forward and charging. That's America.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we turn around, a building falls down or somebody gets blown up, we drop the flag on its knees. And
we
I'm
should
tired.
Put it at half-mast for these things, but these things shouldn't happen.
Well, I don't know if we should. Every time we have a battle in Vietnam and 10 or 12 people died, we put the flag at half-mast? No, we didn't. We didn't do it at World War II either. We kept that flag up and we kept it charging.
And there's a lot of things I think that the present administration will lower the flag for that has nothing to do with what it's supposed to be, how it's supposed to be. I agree with this.
You don't do it for victims. I mean, my point is we shouldn't be victims. We should be leading, and somebody dies in the service of their country, we should be proud of it. That's an amazing sacrifice. But anyway, I'm just tired. I mean, it's just symbolism to me that I don't like the way things are going in this country. Days our flag is half mast in the last 10 years versus the last previous 100. I bet there's more.
Oh, I would agree with that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, it's just symbolism. I just don't like it. We continue to look at bills, too. There's a lot of talk. I think this week, Tuesday or so, the state school board is... I call them the state school board. They have a more proper name, the Nebraska Educational Board or whatever. But on the standards for the health, and they're still sneaking in a word or two. You know, you open a loophole and you got the right teacher, that loophole gets pretty dang wide at what's being taught in that classroom. So I know Senator Albright's still writing, wants to sign us all to sign another letter to send to him, but that's another symbolism thing that I don't like. The people in Nebraska have attended all those state board meetings and really, really have done their job. They've stepped forward, and they're upset about teaching sexual values in our schools, which makes absolutely no sense. A government agency, and that's what a school is, a public school is, a government entity out there teaching morals sexual preferences. I don't know how arrogant those in that occupation, some of them are, but they are, and we need to put an end to it. We need to just tell them no. Teach your kids math and science and history, the actual history, not made-up theory history. But I'm going to tell Senator Auburn I'm not signing any more letters. If you want to get 25 senators to vow or put it in writing that they will pull bills out of the Education Committee, which is very liberal now and ran by the establishment, because otherwise we're not going to get a vote on it. I mean, the people are doing their part, protesting at these hearings and at the state board meetings, but the legislature needs to step up and bring some legislation out to put a stop to it. An out-of-control public education system, getting way far into the weeds and things, as a candidate for the state school board calls, are out of their lane. They're doing things in under their business.
I like that analogy, out of their lane.
It is. It's like Butkus.
Butkus was out of her. He was always out of the lane. He was just trying
coming
to kill
full circle with daylight this morning. Whoever had that on their bingo board.
But they were smarter than Butkus. They incrementally just kind of swerve around you and pass on the inside and run a yellow, and they get to their goals of social engineering our society, and we're reaping the fruits of what we've ignored since the 1960s, what happened to our in our public schools when the draft deferred went to. I went to school with some of them. I was too young to be involved in the draft. The war was coming to an end my senior year in high school, but I went to college with some of them. They went off to college and went into the sciences and flunked out of there, and they went into the math and they went into the business and they flunked out of there. So they transferred to the education departments and they could get a degree there so they could stay out of the draft. And then they took a few more classes and became our superintendents and our principals. And they're all gone now, pretty much now, because the Vietnam vet era folks are in their 70s. But they made a huge, huge impression on our public education. It's what happened. And you've got to be blunt about it, folks. These kids riding in the streets didn't learn it at home. And following critical race theory, and if you read my column, the last one I wrote about critical race theory, there's six or seven senators, young ones down there, that have no reason to be acting like they're black males that with criminal records, because they've lived the American, their parents lived the American dream, and they took a ride along with their parents, private colleges, everything given to them. But somehow they learned something. I wonder, I'm going to ask them, every one of them next time, did you ever live in a trailer house? I have.
You ever get food stamps? Ever use?
Yeah. I haven't.
No.
Have you ever ate macaroni and cheese?
That's what you could ask them. Ask them that.
Yeah.
You really want to see if you're poor, yeah.
Yeah, or ever have, but they learned it somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, they stand there and they act belligerent about race, and they don't know it. They've never lived it. They lived in gated communities. But I could go on and on, but that doesn't just happen. Somebody taught them. So it's going to be fun. I'm going to make it fun next year down the lake.
I'm going to have to watch more of the Unicorn.
Yeah, I'm going to be on social issues more than anything. We got to protect our liberties. This is out of control. I'm preparing a letter to UNMC to find out what studies they did on ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D, vitamin C, because the more I read about this Remivir, it's pure simple corruption. It's pure simple corruption what happened to our country and this guy Fauci down in Washington and the people who died unnecessarily because they didn't get the good right treatment. And
vitamin C is an interesting topic. There was a scientist years ago, he was a Nobel Prize winner, his name was Linus Pauling. And toward the end of his career, he swore vitamin C was almost a cure-all for everything. I mean, he would pump tens of thousands of milligrams of vitamin C into him. And he lived
quite a long time. He's a healthy guy.
You know, there's intravenous feeding the vitamin C high rates that they does a lot of good. But think about it, folks. I mean, every other viral disease, the first thing science focuses on is how to handle the symptoms. Because you don't die of the virus, you die of the symptoms caused by the virus. And what we do with cold medicines and flu medicines and all of that stuff is try to control the symptoms long enough that your body can defeat the virus. But we didn't do that this time. Remember there? That was it. That's all we heard. Couldn't do anything else. Or wait till you're so sick you stuck you on a respirator.
I mean, life support, yeah.
I mean, but science is the new religion, and you can't blaspheme it. But there is corruption. There's an awful lot of money to be made in big pharmaceutical companies. Do I sound like a conspiracy theorist? Maybe.
Well, I
also,
am.
But also, I've done a lot of research and just I travel a lot, folks, in the rural areas, and what I hear from them is, I'm a veteran. Veteran, they're using. They're using hydroxychloroquine. That worked great for them. Their neighbor believed in the science and died. They didn't. They used it. I'm just frustrated.
Yeah.
I mean, just tell me there was a study made. They don't even talk about the studies. It should have been in a panic situation. There should have been massive amounts of money dumped into studies on different treatments. There wasn't. It's all coming out of Europe and Israel, and it's just an odd situation. I don't want to believe there are people that greedy that they would allow people to die because they could make money off a drug or involved in it. But whatever.
Well, we've seen time and time again where that's happened.
Oh, yeah, we have. This huge, you know, you cuss the lawyer sometimes, but thank God we got them sometimes to sue some of these big companies for their abuse of the public with trying to make an extra buck and not telling the truth about their products. But
let's see if we can close on a high note. Got any more?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think Scott Frost would make a perfect coach for Wood River, where he could sit in a local bar with his jersey on the bar wall, retired from high school, and someday be like his dad, be in the Sports Hall of Fame, the Nebraska Sports Hall of Fame. But I'll tell you what, I went to the. I was going to mention this. Hershey puts on one heck of an old-fashioned summer
fall
picnic.
Festival.
Oh, isn't it year in and year out? They
oh
do
my
God!
Prime rib sandwiches. It was amazing, and the public and Greg Phelps Phipps and the singing the old good songs under them big shade trees. It's you know, if you don't know what you have in North Platte, Nebraska, and Lincoln County, you're missing something, folks. We've got the Nebraska Land Days. We've got the Sutherland 4th July, Brady Days. It's America.
Mm-hmm. Americana, old-fashioned fun, like you said, Senator.
Yes, and unbelievably good food.
I think Senator Droney ate well this weekend, folks.
Yes, I did. I went through the line twice. I did donate twice, too. I've got an extra roast beef, prime rib sandwich at home waiting for me.
Oh, you're already ready for lunch today.
Now I'm going to use some science and nuke that thing before I eat. But anyway, no, it's a good life. It's a good life living
Amen.
In Lincoln County, and we've got good people.
Amen.
And we're blunt with each other, and we tell the truth, and most of us. And it's who we are.
Now, Senator Droney, a few of your colleagues have come out and endorsed candidates for governor, specifically a couple of Western Nebraska colleagues, and Senator Erdman and Senator Brewer as recent of last week. Do you plan on endorsing anybody for any sort of race like that in the near future or any point before the election?
It's too early. I had a good conversation with prior Governor Heineman the other day, and I'm going to wait to see what he says. Of the three right now, I like Webster because he's blunt and he's but none of them, well, two of them have absolutely no experience. When you hear them talking about issues, they have no idea what the relationship between the executive branch is, the legislature, the the sub-groups like the State Board of Education and the Regents, they have no idea. And you hear them say things that absolutely make no sense because they don't understand the system. I have no idea who this Pillen guy is. He's quiet. He doesn't tell you. I mean, so he built a huge corporation. So what? I mean, when Ricketts ran, at least we knew who he was. He ran for the Senate. He was out there. He started Platt Institute with me. He had positions. He knew that he was involved. I have no idea what this guy is. And Lindstrom is out there in left. Lindstrom held a... He's running for the Republican candidate for governor, and he held a fundraiser for Vargas. And Vargas is running against Bacon. They're best friends. They do everything together, the families. And he's supporting on bills on the floor. I mean,
what's your work relationship been like with Senator Lindstrom on the unicameral floor? And
he's real quiet. He's supported the discipline bill all the way through. He's a Rockefeller Republican, mostly. Let's cut taxes. But on the other side, I love the university. Let's throw money at it. But somebody else can pay for it. You know, the working class. But he did sponsor every year he's been there the Social Security, the tax reductions. He carried it. A lot of these issues, there's a lot of senators who could carry it. It's just you got to pick one who's willing to put their priority bills on it, and he's always done that with Social Security. But he didn't do it alone. There's an awful lot of us working to get that done. So he's done that. He's been a good soldier, but I don't see him leading anything. I really haven't seen him lead anything. He didn't vote for me for education chair, so that'll tell you something, too. So he doesn't seem to care what's going on in our classrooms because the present chair isn't doing anything about the sex ed or the mask or the any of that stuff. But he's a nice guy. I mean, he's nice. Nice and quiet.
Discuss nice.
Yeah, we have. But so I'm not going to badmouth his character or anything. He's just not there. He's not a leader. You know, it's one of the things when I said one time at a debate, I think I might have said it here, they asked about four of us. Four or five of us were in the line in front of the room and were throwing questions at us. And they asked us if we were going to lead if elected, and I said, they all said, oh, yeah, I don't know. I said, well, I don't plan on leading, but if everybody else takes a step back, I guess I'm leading. Lindstrom steps back. He won't take on the big issues. And I think Pillen's that way. Now, Herbster, I'm not real, Heineman and I had our differences. And he's learned his lesson about property taxes. That standard line of his always was when somebody would call a radio interview show, that he had the governor's radio about property tax, he would always say it was a local issue. I think he's learned his lesson that it isn't in a lot of issues. County government is. Thank God for we got a good county commissioners. Actually didn't take the 1%, 1% increase. But in the schools, it isn't, basically. And that's the big one, and that's dictated by the state government. So I think he's learned his lesson on property taxes. He would be, in these troubled times, a stabilizing influence. But I don't know. I wish there was...
Well, but like you said, too, Senator Groney, it is early. It's very early.
Yeah, it's very... You don't even declare what... You can't even tell your candidate until December or so. Mm-hmm. Nobody's actually filed. You can't.
Yeah.
But we need more candidates, too. We got... Well, folks, we've got the NPPD board. The person on the NPP board, the Dawson County Public Power, all of those should be somebody from Lincoln County. We haul coal. We have a Southern Power Plant. A nice guy from McCook is NPPD, but he's easy to go along with. He's not a leader either. I'm not running for the NPP board, by the way. I'm not doing a campaign speech here. But anyway, we need somebody. We need somebody who works at the power. Well, no, they'd have influence from the management. But no, and we have weed districts. We have a lot of things that people, school boards, You see what's going on with school boards, they're rubber stamped, the people who run are stamped by the union, and then they're elected, and they just rubber stamp whatever the administration and the...
And all these boards are extremely important, township boards, you know, city government, extremely important to be involved where you can and help where you can and make a difference.
Yeah, and somebody like the there's a majority of the county commissioners finally learned that. I don't like lids, because I like lids, but because you're holding people back from spending. But in every instance, especially the schools, the lid becomes the floor. They say, well, we can tax it $1.05, we better. We can take an extra one. The law says we should. And all of a sudden they say, well, look here, I stayed within my credit card limit. I didn't go over it. Well, of course, but the lids become the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have some county commissioner, I'm going to keep bragging on them, and said, no, that's a lid, not a floor. And there's a lot of, you know, go down to the clerk's office and you can find out how many positions are open to be filed for and get involved. Power, you know, all of those MPPD are very important to this community,
mm-hmm.
and to this county. So, and you got the city council, I don't know who's up there, but things are going.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting involved again, but they need to stay involved. You just can't go to a meeting and cuss them out and walk away because they'll just shrug their shoulders and say, well, heck, I ain't got anybody running against me. I can do whatever I want. We're in troubled times, and it's time to step up.
Senator Groney, we do need to wrap up, sir, but good to have you in the studio. As always, we appreciate the time.
Yep. You're welcome.
More coming up on KODY's Mugs of the Morning after a quick news break here on 1240 AM, 106.1 FM.